welcome to I Can Become. My name is Immy, or Imogen, and I am 12 years old. I live in Hillsboro, Oregon. I like art, practicing silks and trapeze, and theater. When I grow up, I want to be a marine biologist or an actor. I really want to know more about becoming an actor, so my friends at ICAN Radio have arranged for me to talk to Kelly O'Hara, a professional Broadway actor. I want to ask her about becoming an actor and what she wanted to be when she grew up. So, places everyone, curtain up. Hi Kelly, thank you for coming to ICAN Radio.
Hi, thank you so much, Immy. I'm so glad to be here with you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think the most important thing I want to tell you right now is I see you're wearing a Matilda Jr. t-shirt. And my 11-year-old daughter just auditioned for Matilda Jr. and we're waiting to see what part she gets. We're very,
cool.
Very nervous. I'm a mother of two. I have an 11-year-old girl named Charlotte and a 15-year-old boy named Owen. And I love to sing and act and I live on the East Coast, and I've been making my career here for a long time.
What is the most challenging role that you have played, and why?
You know, I played one of my first big opportunities on Broadway. I think it was my fourth show, but it was my big first big role, which was Clara Johnson in The Light in the Piazza by Adam Gettle and Craig Lucas. And the reason why Clara was complicated and challenging for me is because she, as a person, is someone with a disability that I had to research and wanted to understand and honor and love and do her justice. But it wasn't something that I myself could completely understand. So I had to really dig and research and find out exactly how it was best that I could play her and make her a character that people could really fall in love with.
What is your dream role that you would love to someday play?
You know, I have played so many of my dream roles because when I was a little girl, I loved Rodgers and Hammerstein. I still do. And I've gotten to do so many of those that now I just think that I'll know her when I see her. In other words, I don't think she's been written yet, so I'm just waiting for her.
Do you have any tips or things you've learned to help deal with disappointment when you haven't gotten cast in a show or gotten the role you were hoping for?
Oh, that's a great, great question. You know, the way I think about it is that I really believe that there are things that are just right for us to do. And sometimes when I didn't get a role, maybe not at the time, but I learned pretty quickly after why I didn't get it. It was either because I was meant to get something else, or it was because this other person was really meant to do it, or it wasn't really right for me. And I didn't always know that at the time, but I can really see that now, looking back. And so I think anybody who goes through the rejection of being in this business, to know that nothing is a bad experience. It's all a learning experience, every audition, but some things are going to just be right for you and some things are just not.
The two shows I'm doing right now, I didn't get the role I was auditioning for either of them, but I got a different role, and the other roles I am are actually really fun.
Yes, you know, I think that's been one of the bigger lessons is I've learned that in the role that I actually get, I end up having maybe even a better time.
Have you ever had anxiety or stage fright auditioning or performing, and do you have any tips for dealing with that?
I do have some tips, and I certainly do. I still do. Every single time I put myself out there and take that leap, that's what's the beautiful thing about it, is that if you leap and land on your feet, or at least enough to land safely, that's the joy. That's the gift and the reward. But every single time I leap off that cliff, I'm nervous. I have anxiety. One of the things that I really do that helps me, and this has happened more in the last 5 or 10 years, really. I make sure that I'm prepared, because what I can say to myself as those voices creep in, because remember, they're just little voices in your head and they're not actually real, I just tell them to be quiet. I literally tell them, I'm not kidding, I tell them as if they're another being and it's not me and it's not what I'm made of. And I say, be quiet. I've done my work and I deserve to be here. And then I say, and I will walk away feeling proud. And then if it comes back in again, right before I go on, I say, be quiet. I deserve to be here. I've done my work. And I'm going to walk away feeling proud. And even if I go on stage and mess up, and now of course I've messed up a lot. You know, I've had times when things didn't go exactly as planned. I knew that I had done my work and I'm still proud of myself for being there. And then I just tell the little voices to go away. Be quiet.
What is something I should focus on in school or some skills I need to be in musical theater?
Well, you know what? This is going to sound like a strange answer. I'm going to tell you to do every single thing that's not musical theater. Because I think that musical theater is acting. And acting is an art form about being a human being. Being a person that's with empathy or excitement, curiosity, experience. And if we aren't fully lived people, if we don't experience the world in all sorts of ways, then we won't be able to play those roles. So, you know, if all we do is musical theater and lessons and dancing and singing and violin and whatever it is that we do in the arts, your first role might be they want you to pretend like you're a soccer player. And all of a sudden, you've never even touched a ball. You know, I think that when we get out into the real world, we learn that really being an actor is about having lived a life. And then you bring those experiences into your performances. So be with your friends, make friends, study hard, learn about every subject, read every book, do as many activities as you can do so that when you go into musical theater, you're a full person.
Thanks, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. What is your best advice for me?
Oh, my best advice for you is something that it's taken me a long time to learn, which is basically, everybody else that you think is doing really well in this business is already taken. Their spot is already taken. In other words, don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to say, oh, I'll be just like them and then I'll get a job, because them has already happened. And what the people want is to see something new and extraordinary and different and special. And so what makes you the most special is just being you, who is different than everyone else, right? So if you try to pretend to be someone else or imitate someone else or create someone else that already exists, it won't be as special as just being you, Emmy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What was it like winning a Tony Award?
Oh my goodness. My head exploded. It really did. First of all, you always, you know, if you get nominated for a Tony, and I guess there's been several times now, you always want it, even if you talk yourself into believing that you won't win. And you always tell yourself it's, you know, the cliche phrase is it's just an honor to be nominated, which it is. But of course you want to win. We're just human beings. But that in that particular year, I really knew that I wasn't going to win. Sometimes, you know, the previous award ceremonies come and somebody's winning every single one of them. And in this case, they were. It was my good friend, Kristen Chenoweth. She was winning every category of every other award show that season. And so I had said, it's okay, that is my good friend, and I am happy for her, and I'm not going to win this year. Maybe I'll win another year. So when I did win, I was so shocked, legitimately shocked, that I just about lost my mind. And I cried, I laughed, I leapt, I danced. My parents were there with me, as they have been every single time. And I'll never forget it. It was a very special moment. Very, very special.
What has been your favorite moment performing on Broadway?
Oh, that is such a hard question to answer. I feel very proud to say that I've had a long career. I think 12 shows now. So the favorite moments are just scattered among all of them. Oh boy. You know, I'm going to say two, not really moments themselves, but the fact that I know that I did two different Broadway shows while pregnant with my children, and that I had my children with me on the stage every night for 5.5 months each. That's how long I did both of those. It was South Pacific and Nice Work, if you can get it. And they were with me, and I felt them kicking when I sang certain lyrics, you know, just knowing that I wasn't alone up there, but I actually shared with my kids what I do and some of my experience, and that they're both now very musical people and love the arts. I'm really proud of that. Those are my best moments.
What is something you wish you had known about being in musical theater when you were a kid?
You know what, Emmy? I didn't know anything about musical theater. I didn't have live theater. I only had movie musicals, you know, like Sound of Music and Carousel and Music Man and stuff. I guess I wish that I would have known that along with it being the love of my life, you know, before I had kids, of course, but that it was a job, you know, that I would have to also be ready and in shape and willing to work really hard to do Broadway, you know, 8 shows a week. You know, yeah. Most people have a job from Monday to Friday and then they get Saturdays and Sundays off. Most people have Christmas off or Christmas Eve off. Most people have longer vacations or something. And what I didn't know about it was that I was going to make a sacrifice in my personal life to do it, and that I would miss some Christmases or half of Christmas, or I would be working on Thanksgiving morning, or I would never have a Friday, Saturday off, you know, ever. Now, I've had breaks between my Broadway shows, and so it's not always that way. But that has been the biggest shock for me, is that how much it is asked of me, but also how much I have found it worth it and that I love it. I still love it.
My next question is actually, what do you do to take care of yourself and your voice when you're performing 8 shows a week?
I do take very good care of myself when I work. I have to, and even though I'm getting older, you know, and I feel like I have to even more, I always did. I drink lots of water, I exercise and stretch every day, I get lots of rest, and even when I had my babies were little, you know, I would wake up with them every morning, but if I got them off to school or whatever, I'd maybe go back and take a nap. But I really take care of my body and my person, just because I think that when you get really run down with the schedule I just mentioned, it's like being an athlete, except there's no off season. You know, you just do it all the time. And so I think that it's a very rigorous and kind of dedicated lifestyle if you want to keep going. I think some people don't do that and they don't have very long careers. So I'm trying to work on that dedication.
What's your process for getting into a character and bringing them to life on stage when you're cast in a new role?
That's a great question. I think that a lot of people, especially if it's a show that's being revived, which I've done a lot of, I think you might just go back and watch another person's video of it or listen to a recording of somebody and learn it, right? Well, I made a decision a long time ago to never do that. In fact, most everything I've ever played that has already been done feels just like a brand new show to me, because what I do is I go to the script that I'm given, and this is called the source material, not the movie, not the recording, nothing that's been made out of it. And I see what I think about it. I see about how my life and my experiences might filter through that. You know, like, what can I bring to this role that's personal to me? You know, for instance, I didn't know what it meant to be a teacher in modern day Thailand in Siam and travel across the world to be a teacher. I didn't, and a British woman, but what I did know was that I was a mother of a son, and so was Mrs. Anna. And from that little nugget, I could build an entire show by being a mother of a son. And I think that if you find your little nugget in that script, you say, oh, I know what she means there, or I identify with this personality trait, or I'm also from there, or whatever it is that you can connect with, then you can build a person that respects the truth of the person you're playing.
Do you have any questions for me?
Oh my goodness. Well, what are the 2 shows that you auditioned for that you've been playing in recently?
The ones that we are in rehearsals right now are, I am in Shrek Junior at my school, and in Shrek Junior they've added like 3 like storyteller narrator people that sing backup in like Shrek song, one of Shrek's songs, one of Donkey's songs, a couple of Fiona's songs. So I'm one of those. And then in Annie, I am Pepper, which is the really, like, stubborn, grumpy orphan. And it's really fun because my mom is Miss Hannigan, and I've been wanting to do a show with her for a long time.
Oh, I love that you're performing with your mom. That's fantastic. Yes, I mean, Charlotte and I love to do that, too. So that's wonderful. Yeah, oh, I love that. I love that you're doing that. And I love that you do Shrek Junior. That's such a fun show with all these wonderful things to do. Oh, that's so fun. And what grade are you in now?
I am in 6th grade.
You're in 6th grade. You're the same age as my daughter. Now, was your mom has been a big influence on your love of musical theater?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We have videos from when I was little, when I was like 6 or 7, of me singing all her songs in the show and stuff. I have memorized a few of them, and we have videos of me just dancing around singing them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is obviously, the genes are strong, aren't they? They pass down. I know they do. I'm living it right now in my own household, which is filled with music. Is there anything else that you love to do?
I do a lot of reading. I like drawing and wood carving, and I really like aerial and circus. I do trapeze and aerial silks.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, let me tell you, that's exactly what I was saying when we first started talking about doing a lot of things, because you'd be surprised, Emmy, that you might be in a Broadway show someday and someone would say, well, what are some of your special skills? And you say, I can do aerials, you know, aerial work on silks, and they'd put it in the show. This is what I'm talking about. If you, the more well-rounded and the more, you know, sort of specialty things that you, you know, whatever makes you different, makes you special, you know, they say, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if all of a sudden they're like, let's see what you can do on those silks, you know? So just keep all of that fun stuff up, and along with your singing and acting and doing this all with mom, I think it's just all so special for what you love. And I love that you're getting to do what you love.
I really want to be in Water for Elephants when I'm older, because it's a circus musical.
Right when you said that, I'm thinking about Water for Elephants. We took the kids to see it, and we just were all amazed, and I loved watching it so much. So you never know where your skills will be needed, you know? So just fill that bucket of skills right up. And it can be anything. It can be learn sign language, you know? It can be anything like that, because the Deaf West productions are so amazing, where they do entire productions, you know, while signing. So it's all very, very useful, very special. This art form is the, I think we're the luckiest people in the world to love it. It's been a pleasure to meet you, and I wish you all the best, and you've brought joy to my day.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to I Can Become with me, Emmy. Today, I have learned that to be a good actor, I need to have all sorts of experiences and do lots of things besides just theater. Kelly encouraged me not to try to be like other performers because they are already taken. I need to bring my unique self to everything I do. I also learned that even the best Broadway actors still get nervous going on stage sometimes. What do you want to become when you grow up? Why not tell my friends at ICANN? Just visit icannradio.org and let them know. And maybe you could interview someone cool just like I did. I wanted to thank my guest, Kelly O'Hara, for coming onto the show. Because of you, I now know I can become a Broadway star.